one, two, broken but glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the leader of the Rejected, Demon Eye. How are you doing this evening?
Hello!
How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm brilliant, thank you. You're tired. But before we get into your career, I just wanted to know how long you've been a wrestling fan.
Oh god, trying to make me think back now. I'd say all my life, I suppose, as early as I can remember.
Yeah.
Like I say, earliest memory was probably watching WCW up until like March 25th or 26th, 2001, when it had the last episode.
I think so. Around then, I stopped watching around then for a bit.
I remember Sting and Ric Flair.
I still wish Ric Flair would have not wore a t-shirt in his last match. He should have gone to shape.
I know. Like the last thing I remember, it was like, oh, it stuck with me. Where's how Sting goes. The one that's right about Sting, a lot of that's sure about Sting is nothing's for sure.
Yeah. Like, oh. So were you a fan of the more mnemonic characters?
So, which is a good little quote because it's just like,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of where I got my inspiration from, really.
Yeah.
Like, his whole persona. Like, I wish that I ever had the chance to, you know, rappel down, did, like, his old cool little entrance, like, face paint. Like, I was a fan of his Flash Borden days and his surface thing, but I was like, I could never pull that hairstyle off, so I'm just not going to do that. I was a big fan of The Crow as well, and it was kind of like his inspiration from that was The Crow, so mm-hmm. I thought he killed two birds with one stone there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in...
That's where I just basically just took it from.
Nobody who isn't in the late 80s can pull off that blonde hair anymore. The way it is.
Oh, the surfer gimmick, yeah.
So was it? Do you have any other favorite wrestlers growing up? Or was it like?
There was like it was mainly the gimmicks, ones that you know you'd always remember, or they'd always do something and you'd never forget it. Like I legitimately screamed, hid behind the couch, and like covered my ears.
Yeah,
where I think it was Bad Blood, and basically just tore that door off the cell. And when the fireworks went off, I. Like shit myself. Weren't expecting it. Just like, no, what is this? But you know, I loved it. I'd watch it back now and be like, how was I scared of that? Because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
I think it was. Yeah, I'd have been. Oh, I don't know, 7.
Wow.
So it was quite scary.
Yeah, it's one of the best debuts ever. Kane's debut.
But I remember, like overnight, everyone used to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like in my school, all my friends used to watch wrestling. Like they'd always be like, they'd be walking into school, like strutting, pretending to hold cans of beer. Everyone would kind of do the eyebrow.
Yeah.
And not everyone could do it, so they'd like use the finger to push their eyebrow up and walk around. And it's like, you're just like an idiot, what are you doing? Stop it.
So what prompted you to don the tights and get into the ring?
I remember in high school, like I say, when I was in primary school, everyone was watching it. It was as if wrestling just like died overnight. Everyone just stopped wrestling.
Yeah.
And stopped watching it. And we were like, oh, I'm just like growing out of it now. We're not going to watch it anymore or what? And then everyone just went, oh, we don't watch wrestling now. Everyone's gone back to football and Pokemon cards and all that crap. And I was like, oh, right, okay. I'm there when we smacked down like magazines and, you know, like the stickers you used to get and all that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, right, okay. Like I've never been to a live show. It was just literally, I could only watch wrestling. I think it was on Channel 4 or Channel 5, was it? Like, I remember my mum used to let me watch it during the adverts of what she was watching.
Yeah, so, wow.
And a first impression, this is a complete and honest truth, she was watching something, the adverts come on, I switched over to like Channel 4 or Channel 5, and Rikishi's ass was just there on the screen. She went, well, you're not watching that. So, I'm like, oh, nice one. So, that was... My mum's first take on wrestling was this guy in a black nappy, basically.
Yeah.
dad went, oh, he's going to turn out fine, he'll be fine. It's only men, you know, all grappling, fighting, it's fine. So, but my dad wanted me to be a footballer.
Yeah.
He named me after Ryan Giggs, because he's a Man U supporter. And then I was born on Ryan Giggs' birthday. He was like, he's going to be a footballer, yeah! And then first football training, just stood there like a melon, just like, yeah, kick the ball. Yeah, football wasn't for me.
No.
No. I wanted to get in the ring with the men.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't even know I was going to be a wrestler. But yeah, like I say, when I got into it, high school, skip a couple of years, stayed over at my mate's house in Frodsham on a Saturday night. And on the Sunday morning, come downstairs and he's there with cereal. He's watching the Sunday Experience with Todd Grisham and Ivory, where they walk around New York City just talking about whatever had happened, like on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, it's wrestling. I thought he died. I was like, oh no, it still goes on. Like, he's like, I'm one of the 1% who continue to watch it and stuck with it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right, yeah. So, and then from there, I was just like, well, I want to get back into this. So, yeah. I then went from basically watching it to then, like, you know, doing more research back on it again, like looking at who, like, the current roster was, buying the game, like SmackDown versus Raw, the bra and panties match. You know, it was quite good when you were a teenager. It was like, yeah, this is workable. And then we went to go into the live events.
Yeah.
SmackDown Summer Bash Tour, I think it was, in July 2005. It was Triple Threat. The main event was John Cena versus Kurt Angle versus JBL, and Stone Cold was the special guest ref.
Wow.
It was great. And then Big Show comes out like, hey, I'll have a beer. And Stone Cold stunners him, and everyone's like, hey, you bitch. Oh, and then so actually getting in the ring, again, by accident. My mum sends me to the shop to top up the electric card, and my mate Corey is stacking beans in the shop. It's his little job on the side. And he goes, I'm wrestling now. And I go, you what? He goes, I'm wrestling. There's a school. It's been open for like 2 years in Runcorn and Grangemere. I was like, hang on, there's a wrestling school. They put a wrestling school in Runcorn. Of all places to put one, you put one in Runcorn. So, oh yeah, community project, he keeps kids off the street and that, and like, he keeps you off the street. He said, come down on the Saturday and try it out, and I did. It was about 2007. So I started, I went to the show they were having in the September. Started the first week in October of the training, scary experience.
Wow.
And literally, the show was the 24th of October, and they put me on it. Like, they had like, what they call now like a showcase show, but it was like they called it the junior show, because they had the junior class and they had the adult class.
Yeah.
And the time when there was a night show, you'd have the kids show in like the afternoon. So I was put on that, and literally how to smash someone's head into the turnbuckle, and that's what I had no clue on the terminology.
No.
I'd been like training for 2 weeks. So I'd just get in, like, I'd do my entrance, I'd go to like mimic Sting and be like, woo, and I sound like, my voice breaks and I just sound like I just swallowed a fly. I was like, yeah, that's my first impression of going out and doing it. And then I get pedigreed at the end of the match. Brilliant.
Yeah, my next question was going to be, what came first, the Demon Eye character or your first match? But you've already answered that. So.
Well, do you know what? I picked that name, and where I got that name from, which is a lot of people don't believe me, but in the August, I don't know what it was, I just got back and I was like, thinking about everyone getting to wrestling and what would my name be, and this Spanish homeless fella gave it to me.
Yeah.
Benador, like, he pointed at this sign, and it said, I couldn't, obviously it was in Spanish, but I couldn't read it when he said it. He just said it, like, El Demonio, or something like that. Something weird. He might not have even said that, I just misheard him.
Yeah.
But I just got it from there, and I didn't really know what to do with it. I just wanted like a cool weird name, but I'd always wanted to do something gimmick based. I never wanted to come out in like trunks or like weird undies. I always had small legs compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
I always had little football legs. And I thought, I ain't gonna, to this day, I do not suit like trunks.
No.
Just not for me. Like, if you put me in a singlet, you might as well just hang me on a washing line. It just doesn't work. So yeah, I bought pleather pants from Australia.
Yeah.
That cost like £130, and then the day I got them, they ended up splitting because I sat on the top turnbuckle on one of the hooks. He kicked me in the head and then bulldogged me off the top rope and he split.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, so
So how's the character evolved over the years?
I'd say it came more out through the rejected idea. Like, I didn't really have anything. I was getting, like, passed around. Like, as I started out as a tag team wrestler with my former partner, which I'd been with him for a couple of years. And we were heels. It was just being like, you know, a little cocky bastard just cheating and getting your way through. And then obviously it was going stale, so I thought, well, I'm going to have to mix this up. So I went to Randy and I was like, look, I want to mix it up. I actually want to, like, you know, go with this in, like, full force. So I want to try something new. I want to keep the name. I want to have the name mean something rather than just be the name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when we come up with the rejected. Originally, it was just two people. It was me and Judas Ryan McDonald, whatever. He's got like four different names. He goes by Jack Envy now, I think.
But yeah, yeah.
Judas Jones, mm-hmm. And then it was Ryan Rage, but everyone skipped him because they thought Ryan Rage was like some kind of like porn star name. So like, don't use that. But Jack Envy, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It was me and him. We did a tag team match. And then Andy come up to me and was like, Ryan, in like, of confidence, was like, is these two new guys just started, and I quote, this is true, yeah, there's these two new guys that just joined, right, they're a bit weird like you, you want them in your little team, and I thought, yeah, why not,
yeah.
So one was Azazel, who's still in,
yeah,
rejected. One, the other one was Vicarian, or Cameron Solis as he goes by now,
yeah.
And Phil, Big Phil, literally was Big Phil, came along about a year later. Like, we caught him when he was like halfway through his transformation, because I remember him saying at a bus stop to me, he's like, I used to weigh four of you, and I was like 10 stone at the time.
Yeah.
It was legitimately 40 odd stone. Seen the I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but it's
yeah, I had him on
so well.
Is it last June, I think he was on?
Yeah,
he came on to discuss.
I can't call him Big Phil anymore, because like, Phil, you're not the biggest fella like around now. You're like, you're just like okay, Phil, like, you know, normal Phil. So,
right.
Yeah.
So what do you like so much about working heel?
Do you know what? I love it. People say they prefer me as a face. In other words, Alex prefers me as a face. Like, you just look like a face. You know,
yeah.
You just look like someone, you know, you like, you want to cheer because you're just skinny. I was like, nice one. But it's mad because I think as a heel, you've got more responsibility because you control the match, basically. You lead.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was told, but I can see it that way. Like, if you want to bring the match down and, like, you know, like, slow it down, all you have to do, you know, you cut your opponent off, you make him down, slap the ref door, you bring them down. You control the crowd, basically. And all it takes is for, like, one person to not like you, and then the rest of them will just jump on it. It's like a virus, like a spread disease. If you can get one of them, we'll all just... I was always, like, pretty good at getting people to hate me. I don't know what it was. I guess it was just because it was ugly. And they were like, keep the mask off! Like, you know, what do you say, the mask off? Yeah. I've done, like, there was one time we had to take a birthday cake out for one of the people in the crowd. And I thought, I'm gonna use this to my advantage.
Yeah.
So as we took it out, we're all there with, like, you know, moody faces on. Because it's not really what the character would do. But we did it because we were asked. And then literally, like, as the kids about to blow the candles, I just go, blow them out and go, ah! And then like that, like, oh. So, I was like, well, we probably had one fan, and now we have none. So, I don't think the dad was impressed anyway, but the fact that the kids kind of, like, started crying, like, I've gone too far there, boys. So
how did you get involved with Wrestle Island?
Well, literally, it was in full swing. We were going about it at RWA. And then I knew a photographer, Lisa, who does Wrestle Island. She basically, like, told Peter about us. Because he was, you know, early stages. He was Mystery Island, you know, bringing people in, signing for the comics. And he said, you know, if you're looking at people for the show, just check these guys out. They're a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So he came down. And he like watched. I guess he enjoyed it. He was lucky because on the day he came down to watch, I think I won a belt.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh well, that's good, you know, great first impression. But then he pulled me to one side at the end and was like, I want to come down to the island and we'll have a talk and stuff, and we'll work something out, because I think what you've got here, I want at my place when I get on to doing it. And I was like, yeah, cool, because I've been doing it, like, oh God, I was on and off, because, like, uni, and sometimes I think that you just need a break from wrestling sometimes, because if you do it constantly,
yeah,
you know, you never really, like, heal up, you don't rest up and stuff. And me being a skinny fart, you know, I was, you know, my back started to hurt, bending, my spine was, I had to go, like, the doctors and, like, get checked out sometime. And I had nerve damage at one point.
Wow.
So, neuropraxia. I had to take about 6 months off. It was scary, because, you know, when you're, like, it was about 20, it was just, like, tilt your neck to the side at the wrong time, or,
ow,
you know, and you could be knackered. So I was quite lucky to be able to come back from that.
This has been Alexis Falcon on Broken But Glorious with my fan, Chris. See you all soon.
Right, so you're part of the huge show coming off Wrestle Islands. Don't tell me what to do. No, don't tell me what I can't do.
That's, yeah, that's quite ironic, that, isn't it? I don't know. Usually he bases it off a film. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's probably off a film. I don't know, because he based one off Fortnite, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I don't play Fortnite. Just putting that out there. Yeah. Used to. Never again. Terrible.
May 5th. May 5th at the Winds Lane Sports and Social Club in Wallasey. Headlined by...
It's going to be weird being at a different venue.
And it's closer to me, so I don't have to spend £20 in a taxi getting there and back.
No, it's alright. You don't have to, you know, use the toll and all that.
Yeah.
But I've looked at the venue. Winds Club is something completely different, but I don't know. Like a social club, is it? Where they have like a bar and chairs and like a little stage. They're like sort of like Phoenix Nights kind of setup.
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, but I haven't been there for a couple of years. Wow. My friend used to work there as a barmaid. So years ago.
Right. So I liked the little theatre until Phil went through it. Through a wall during the Theatre of Pain match.
Wow.
I was cutting about that match because I was injured. Ironically, I was training.
Yeah.
Like the Wednesday before. I got suplexed and I just went off angle.
Ow.
And my foot just went crack down on the floor instead of the mat, and it just ballooned up. It looked like I had an egg for an ankle, and they were like, "Yeah, you're going to be out for about 6 weeks." And it, obviously, because it was the Theatre of Pain match, it was the big blow-off thing for the introduction of the rejected in Wrestle Island going against Roughneck and Ethan Meyer. Not Ethan Meyer, I think he could make it. Sean Only instead, wasn't he, going to replace Keith with Sean Only?
Wow.
I can't remember why Keith could make it. He'd probably gone to Benidorm for like the 50th time in the year. But yeah, I love Keith.
Yeah, the first time I saw you was against Keith and his son.
Oh, yeah, I remember that match. Yeah.
About 18 months ago.
I was told one spot to do in that, and that's just me for a 2. I can't plan for anything.
No.
Ryan basically said to me, he was like, "Do you want to get some cool Keith?" I was like, "What do you mean, cool heat? What do you think cool heat means?" He went, spit in my face.
Oh.
Like, all right. Legit, like, he went, no. I went, okay. He meant, like, a bottle of water. Because I'm not being funny. When you're in the ring, it's like your body temperature just flies up.
Yeah.
And you're running around, you're stopping and starting. It's not like you're on a treadmill. Like, you know, you gradually, you know, just moving, and you can slow down at a steady pace. It's like stop, start.
Yeah.
Like, my mouth was like bone dry, and I was just like breathing out dust. But I forgot anyway, because I remember Keith just coming up to me and just giving me a wallop.
Oh.
And everything just went from there. I just remember that. I think it was a screwy finish where we basically cheated to win, as obvious as whatever happens. That's kind of what the deal is.
Abaddon interfere? I'm trying to remember. It was 18 months ago.
I think so. Yeah. He just jumped up and just, you know, showed his mug.
Right, so the show on the...
That's a fun match, that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. The show on the 5th of May is headlined by Sean Only and Warren Banks challenging Lucas Steele for the Island Championship. I just wanted to say congratulations to your teammate, Alexis Falcon, who won the Island Rumble at the last show. So I'm guessing she will face the winner of this triple threat in the future?
I assume so, yeah. It's mad because, like, there's been 2 Rumbles now at Wrestle Island, and I've not been in any of them. No. Like the first time, and this kind of goes into the whole Geno thing, just not a lot of people realise, because the blow-off match has just been put back that long, or we've just, you know, spaced it out that long. But when they first did the Rumble, I wasn't put in it, and they put Geno in. Yeah. So I was like, well, we can work with something there. So why don't I just come in, you know, batter you, get you out, and then use that? Because he'd be like, why are you getting these opportunities? Why are the people with no talent getting, you know, my spot in the spotlight, basically?
Yeah.
And that's what we did. He fractured my hand that day as well.
Ow.
I smacked him with a kendo stick. He then grabs it and then flings for my head. I put my hand up to protect my head, and he, like, bruised my knuckle, and the hand just went numb for about 3 weeks.
Ah.
Yeah. All in a day's work.
Yeah, so you're at this show, you're doing a contract signing for a future match?
Apparently so, yes.
So is there a stipulation you want or you don't want? Or... So it was the last match you had was a tables really? Match, wasn't it? So...
Yeah, well, I mean, what we did with that was, obviously, we were going to have the tables match. And then I was like, well, obviously, we could still do it. But I knew at that point, of this show, I wouldn't be able to get off the date because, like, I work in care, so it's very, like, you have to be flexible. It's very hit and miss if you want to get that date off. Mm-hmm. So I said, why don't we do it as a statement or like a segment? So, like, we'll come out, go for the match, and then I'll just grab the mic and go, you know what, this match isn't happening.
Yeah,
could generate more heat, because we're not exactly getting the heat that we want. Because we've got like people that cheer, but that's completely fine. You have
your rejected army, don't you?
So. Oh, of course, yeah. Mr. Graham Williams waving the little invisible flag of the rejected. Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's great playing to them and playing to the people that don't like us. But yeah, so I said, well, why don't we do it as a segment?
Yeah.
Where we come out, I basically grab the mic and say, this isn't happening now, whatever, and then I get like extra rejected members to come out, batter him, and obviously there's no way that I would be able to put Geno through a table on my own.
No.
So I think it was about six people just picked him up and just slammed him through.
Yeah,
looked like really good. When I saw the footage back, I was like,
it looked
like a feather falling through the air, Geno.
It was special. I can see seeing all the extra rejected members, because the rest of the rejected were banned from ringside for that match. So
he made it clear that the rejected members, but I made sure that obviously it was stated, you know, Zazel wasn't allowed,
yeah,
Babin wasn't allowed, Alexis Falcon wasn't allowed, but didn't state, you know, anyone else.
No.
So we kind of like worked the way around it, took like a side story with it, and then used that, because it just shows that anyone could be in a rejected anyone at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what it stands for. It's like the whole thing with the whole for what it means to me was the whole if you were like cast out, or mm-hmm. if you were like bullied, if you ever were different, you never fit in, you were never part of the norm, which is what I felt like as a kid. So I used that and brought that into like the modern day thing with wrestling, and it worked, because like Pete said, he was the same, and you know, the rest of them, they were like, they had one thing that they could connect to it, they could bring and feed off it with their gimmicks.
Yeah, and Wrestle Island tweeted out today that you've been warned about your antics, that your antics will not be accepted, and security will be on standby. So,
so yeah, apparently they're going to have extra security, but they've had security before, though, haven't they? And it's not really been much effect. So unless they're going to like literally build a brick wall between me and Geno, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't really say, because I don't know. I'm just going to go out there and I don't know. I want to see what the contract says. I'm really interested, because the fact that it's quite, with what Peter said, he put that massive statement out.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was like legit, because he was, you know, he was like having a go, like in like a professional way.
Yeah.
The fans of the rejected, you know, saying that you support what they do, and what they do, you know, is bad through, like I say, I grabbed his head, Charlie, like threw him in the ring to make like a statement, because like it's Peter that I want, really. I want his you want his attention. He's the boss.
Yeah.
There's no point like taking on someone who's part of the roster, because what's that going to get me? if I want something, I'll go to the top, I'll go to the guy who pulls the strings.
Yeah, if people want to see the statement Peter put up, I'll put a link in the description below the interview.
It's a long
Facebook post.
Very long.
This is the Monster of Baden, the biggest masked member of the Rejected, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
I asked the Wrestle Island fan Facebook fan group and Twitter for questions, and you didn't disappoint. You said quite a lot. So I've got two questions from...
It's probably about 70 from Graham.
I've got two from Graham.
Only two?
Wow. So we'll start with them. So when you get past Gina Ramsey, who's next on your list?
I'd face RJ, maybe, probably, yeah. I'd want to face maybe Sean only.
Yeah, that'd be a good match.
Even yet, go to the top, face Lucas Steele, but I wouldn't really see it as a match against Lucas Steele. I'd see it as flying lessons for me. Because I can imagine I'd just be like... I'd enjoy it.
You could use the numbers games against him, because he's such a loner and you've got your group.
I mean, it'd have to be like 10-on-1 or something. I'd just get the Rejected and the extras, and then the extra extras. I'd just pull people in from like the street, like, right, wear this mask. Let's go. That's what I do anyway. I just pull people off the street and go, hey, you, here's 50p, come on. Just one of them.
Yeah, he also asks him, if there was a fifth Rejected member, who would you recruit?
Oh, that's hard. Because we've had... I think at one point we had 5 members.
Yeah.
And then obviously like one left due to he injured his arm. I think he injured his elbow. But that's a story for another time, not for the podcast. and then Carrion, he left RWA. I think he wanted a break from wrestling.
Yeah.
Which was fair enough. So I said, you know, if you're ever wanting to, you know, come back or do whatever, well, you know, let's talk and stuff. So then it went down to 3. And then I really wanted to mix things up because I thought, you know, we've got the Rejected, we've had the highs, and now we're kind of like slipping. So I wanted to mix it up. I like to throw in a female member.
Yeah.
And then I had an idea of someone at the time. I held off. And then Alex came along.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just went, you. Well, I didn't. She tells me that I was like, no, I don't want her in it. She got bloody... she's from Hull. I don't want someone from Hull in there, as yet, but it wasn't that. It might be some other reason. Like, I don't know. She might probably say, it's because I was a vegetarian, you don't mean they're Rejected. I'm like, that's not it, because, you know, just what women are like, I suppose. Or especially Alex, anyway.
Yeah.
Making up stuff for me and trying to get me to trouble. Yeah. But once we got Alex in, everything, like... just like sparked up again.
Yeah.
Like the freshness and the way we brought Alex in was like really good, and it was probably like the feud of the, if there was ever a feud of the year award run call, that would have got it, because it was brilliant. So she was brought in to be someone's girlfriend.
Yeah, wow.
The boyfriend was best mates with this other guy. And it wasn't really a love triangle, it was more like she'd act heel when the boyfriend couldn't see, so all the right. Tag team part would be like, she's bad for you, you know, she's poisoning, get rid of her. And he was like, no, she's fine, it's just you. It led them to fall out. And then when it came to the title match between me and the boyfriend, she screwed him over, and then she joined us, and it was brilliant.
Oh, brilliant, that sounds great.
It worked perfect. And that was, ironically, that was the match that Peter saw, so everything like fell into place.
Oh, amazing.
It was great timing.
Right, so who was the fifth member?
Oh, yeah, I always ramble on, sorry. Do you know what, honestly, I don't know. Everyone seems to fit in perfectly who I picked. Like, if I look at someone now and I see, I'd be very picky. I'd be like, could it work here? Could it work with this situation? Could their chemistry in the ring from what they have now work with this person? Are they established enough where I wouldn't want them to go off what they're originally doing?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, do you know what, honestly, I can't answer it. I honestly don't know.
All right, so I've got a few questions from Ian Jones.
Oh, yes.
So you've already answered the first question. He said, how would you respond to Peter's status? So
he'll find out on the 5th of May.
So what do you think about the fact that the Rejector's popularity is growing?
I love it. I never actually expected it to get this much like attention. I mean, obviously, it's what you want.
Yeah.
Because it makes our jobs easier. the fact that we get cheered is a whole different story. But it's like, I think in wrestling, like in the modern day wrestling, you can't pick and choose who, you know, if you want to cheer for who and boo whoever. It just naturally happens. If someone's going to like someone, whether they're good or bad, they're going to like them. It doesn't matter. You can't like force feed someone to like someone or to hate someone. It's just going to happen, and you've just got to, it's just one of those things.
You still get majority of the fans booing. You just have your rejected army.
Like more, because yeah. I love being booed.
Yeah.
Like I've had hot chips thrown at me, and that was just the best, because I was quite hungry during the match. I've had bottles of water thrown, posters, yeah, just anything you can imagine. When you're in one corner, you know, anything can happen. Even outside the ring.
As I say, if you like a heel, you should boo them, because if you start cheering them, then they get changed to face, and then you start hating them.
True. I mean, you can confuse the crowd, though, I guess. Like, obviously, yeah. The kids are going to cheer the goodies and boo the baddies. I think that's just what they naturally do, because it's just something for them mm-hmm. to do and what they get invested in.
Yeah.
But I think it's just down to personal preference. Like, if you prefer the bad guys in films, then it can reflect onto what you watch wrestling shows and stuff.
He also asks, when are you going to go for a title, and when are Abaddon and Aziz going to challenge for a tag team titles?
I don't know. We might just, you know, decide one day. But like I say, if I faced Lucas Steele, it would probably just be flying lessons. But who knows? There's always time for... once the thing with Gino's sorted, I don't know what's going to happen next. Because obviously, you know, I'm trying to get to Peter, and Gino just seems to be the last stop. I don't even know what the match is going to be. It'll probably be said in the signing. Like, I know there'll probably be a stipulation. It's going to be.
I say, because the Rejected have been such a dominant force in the promotion, and with rumours of possibly even being a trios title, you must be top of the list to get.
Yeah, I've heard of that. It would be interesting. It's just I think there's a promotion. I can't think where it is. I don't know if it was Mr. Katz or, but they did an intergender title. I think like Dan and
Natalie are intergender.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm not sure what promotion that is, but I know
they
have it. Because that's like I like that. That's quite interesting and how that like unfolds. But with the trios, yeah. It'd be nice to see when they do spring to light, and we'll see.
Right. Lewis Orr says, "What did you think about the Justice of Demon Eye chant at the last show?"
Oh, I loved it. It was great. It's nice to see that I'm remembered.
Yeah.
It originally came from, I think it was, there was something going on at Runcorn with Justice for Johnny, which was one of the wrestlers there who was in the tag team, and he got bashed out by his tag team partner, and then that got the Justice for Johnny. So obviously they've gone there, they've seen that, and then they've brought it over. But I haven't watched the show back, but I heard like during the Rumble and stuff they were just roaring it.
It was loud.
Like an angry riot out of Parliament or something.
Yeah, me and my son were singing along.
It's nice to see I'm not forgotten about.
Yeah. Debbie Pritchard asks, if you could challenge anyone at the island, who would it be?
I think I answered that. Was it previously? I think I picked, I picked either it'd be like RJ Silver.
Yeah.
Roman Short only. Lucas Steele. I remember there was talks early days. I think Peter was just like messing about obviously bringing in Abyss.
Oh, wow.
To have like, so I was like, oh yeah, you want to kill me? Yeah, nice one. But no, that'd be quite an experience, you know, fighting someone with stats like Abyss.
She thinks you against Scott Oban would be amazing. Both dark.
Oh yeah,
dark in your own ways.
Deb, Seth, Lewis. Yeah, yeah. He's incredibly talented. Yeah. Scott Oberman. Yeah, I've worked in before early days, and you can tell straight away, you know, where they're going to go, and he just improved like a hell of a lot since the last time I seen him at Runcorn, when like I seen him in the Merseyside Murder Squad. I caught up with him a couple of years later WrestlePro in Salford.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was blown away. I was like, Jesus, he can walk on water. But no, he's one of the ones, Seth.
Yeah, he's got his match against Cameron Solis was probably match of the night at the last show.
Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Right, then we got one from Twitter. It's at Revisionist Book. Said, if you could book yourself against one American, one Canadian, and one Japanese wrestler, who would they be?
Bloody hell. Edge.
Edge
is Canadian, isn't he?
Yes.
I think, I hope. Yes, I think I'd pick Edge. I love Edge. Great. You know, it was legit. This is when I used to watch it. I was like 13 when I got back into wrestling.
Yeah.
I hated him. Absolutely despised him. He looks like just someone you just want to punch. So,
during his Ray Star Superstars phase, was that?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. When he cashed in.
Yeah.
Because I actually felt sorry for Cena.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shame. He's just done all that and then. And I didn't like the way he used to kick Lita as well. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Canadian. American, I don't know, I'd love to go against like someone who, like I say, you influenced me to get into wrestling, like Sting.
Wow.
I know, just like, it's like my gimmick is kind of based off yours, so, you know, I'd love to just to see like what chemistry we'd have.
Did you go to the Liverpool Comic Con meeting recently?
I did.
Yeah.
It was £60 though for.
Ooh.
Well, no, it wasn't Liverpool. I went to see him. It was the previous con that he came to, were Wales in Wrexham.
All right, okay.
And I think it was like £60 for a picture and £60 for an autograph.
Wow.
As much as I idolised that man, I cannot pay £120 because I've got his biography.
Yeah.
And it's really thin. Little like book of these about 125 pages, like I found on eBay about 15 years ago for about a tenner.
Yeah,
but it's like his story of like when he was going through his ups and downs, and I thought that's signed. But I thought, well, 60 quid, 120, just
a bit much.
I couldn't bring myself to pay that. It's like with Undertaker, is it like £150? For like a picture or an autograph or each.
Oh, is it 141 or something? I think that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Japanese?
One Japanese.
Oh god. I'm trying to think. Got a Yoshi tattoo.
Wow, yeah. He's my son's
favourite.
Just
because it was just to listen to his theme song again. Yoshi tattoo. I remember the first time I heard it. I put it as my ringtone. It took me like an hour to do.
Yeah.
To like download it and then put it on my phone and to make sure it worked. Just a lot of stress went into that. But yeah, Yoshi tattoo. It's brilliant. It's very underrated.
Oh, that'd be like a complete opposites and then the theme tune, bit yours versus his.
Oh, exactly. Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, you kind of mentioned this before. So the tweet. So the tweets were asked for questions basically saying it's a slanging match between you and Paradox. So now that's a feud I'd like to see at the island.
Yeah, so. I mean they did face, didn't they? They were in like
it was like a
multiple tag match.
It was a triple threat.
Phil and Pete were obviously in it, and then there was the Paradox. Oh, they teamed with Grodd, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
And they had that big, massive, like big scramble. It was pretty good. I was proud of them for that.
That's great, man. Right, so I asked Abaddon and Exorcist this question when I interviewed them, so I thought it'd be interesting to ask you the same and see what answer so you'll give. So, do you remember back in the day when NWO did their own pay per view? If the Rejected did their own pay per view and each member had a singles match, what opponents and what stipulation would you pick for each member?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what? Just to be completely like. Off the what you'd expect, I'd probably book like. Oh, let me think. Oh, I know. Just random. Abaddon versus like Grodd.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Probably Azazel versus RJ Silver. And then I'd probably. Oh, you have the stipulations. So I don't know. I'd probably put like Abaddon and Grodd in a cage.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I've always wanted a cage match. Azazel and RJ, probably a TLC. Because RJ is quite, all over the place.
Yeah, he said when he gets to a venue, he just looks for something to jump off. That's what he said.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for him to jump off the Radio City Tower, just into the ring.
Yeah.
And then just be like, oh. For me personally, I would probably, again, just to be like random, I'd probably like just as like a one-off showcase, like me versus, oh, do you know what first person comes into my head? Alex as well.
Wow, that'd be good. Mm. Number one contenders match.
For any title. So if I win, I can go against the women's.
Alright, so do you want to promote your social media before we go?
Yeah, not that I post anything really majorly. I just have I have Facebook, but we don't really use it as such. We all mainly just have like the Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
My Instagram is mainly more personal, but I post like wrestling pictures that relate to real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you ever see one of me getting like thrown out of the ring, it was like, you know, typical Monday morning, you know, stuff yeah. like that. But it's at DemonEye91.
Yeah.
DemonEye, not EYE, which people seem to think, but okay. And it's the same for Twitter.
Yeah, I'll put
like say, we don't really use the Facebook. Facebook's overrated.
Yeah, I'll put that.
And we seem to get more interaction on Twitter and stuff, so
yeah,
Twitter's like, definitely. I think that's where everyone really goes and gets like a little bit of banter. Like I certainly do. It's off our commentator, is it Mark?
Yeah.
He likes to try and push my buttons a lot. Ever since I hit him across the ribs with a kendo stick.
Yeah.
He was just in the way. So I thought, you know, why not?
Yeah, I'll put the links in the description below the interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Enjoyed it.